Today is the 30th day of March. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you as we, well, this is the eve of the end of the third month of the year. So it's great to be here with you today as we gather around the global campfire and take the next step forward, which leads us back into the book of Deuteronomy. As we continue to listen to and glean from the final discourses of Moses before a new leader takes over. We're reading from the New International Version this week, Deuteronomy chapters 13, 14, and 15 today. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, "Let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them," you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. That prophet or dreamer tried to turn you from the way the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. If your very own brother, or your son or daughter, or the wife you love, or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, "Let us go and worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known, gods of the peoples around you, whether near or far, from one end of the land to the other," do not yield to them or listen to them. Show them no pity. Do not spare them or shield them. You must certainly put them to death. Your hand must be the first in putting them to death, and then the hands of all the people. Stone them to death, because they tried to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Then all Israel will hear and be afraid, and no one among you will do such an evil thing again. If you hear it said about one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you to live in, that troublemakers have arisen among you and have led the people of their town astray, saying, "Let us go and worship other gods, gods you have not known," then you must inquire, probe, and investigate it thoroughly. And if it is true, and it has been proved that this detestable thing has been done among you, you must certainly put to the sword all who live in that town. You must destroy it completely, both its people and its livestock. You are to gather all the plunder of the town into the middle of the public square and completely burn the town and all its plunder as a whole burnt offering to the Lord your God. That town is to remain a ruin forever, never to be rebuilt, and none of the condemned things are to be found in your hands. Then the Lord will turn from his fierce anger, will show you mercy, and will have compassion on you. He will increase your numbers, as he promised on oath to your ancestors, because you obey the Lord your God by keeping all his commands that I am giving you today, and doing what is right in his eyes. You are the children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave the front of your heads for the dead, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. Do not eat any detestable thing. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. You may eat any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. However, of those that chew the cud, or that have a divided hoof, you may not eat the camel, the rabbit, or the hyrax. Although they chew the cud, they do not have a divided hoof. They are ceremonially unclean for you. The pig is also unclean. Although it has a divided hoof, it does not chew the cud. You are not to eat their meat or touch their carcasses. Of all the creatures living in the water, you may eat any that has fins and scales. But anything that does not have fins and scales, you may not eat. For you, it is unclean. You may eat any clean bird, but these you may not eat. The eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, the black kite, any kind of falcon, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the gull, any kind of hawk, the little owl, the great owl, the white owl, the desert owl, the osprey, the cormorant, the stork, any kind of heron, the hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects are unclean to you. Do not eat them. But any winged creature that is clean, you may eat. Do not eat anything you find already dead. You may give it to the foreigner residing in any of your towns, and they may eat it, or you may sell it to any other foreigner. But you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. But if that place is too distant and you have been blessed by the Lord your God and cannot carry your tithe, because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away, then exchange your tithe for silver and take the silver with you and go to the place the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. And do not neglect the Levites living in your towns, for they have no allotment or inheritance of their own. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the foreigners, the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns, may come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people, because the Lord's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your fellow Israelite owes you. However, there need be no poor people among you. For in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, a year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. If any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let them go free. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress. Give to them as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. But if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you, because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life. Do the same for your female servant. Do not consider it a hardship to set your servant free, because their service to you these 6 years has been worth twice as much as that of a hired hand, and the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. Set apart for the Lord your God every firstborn male of your herds and flocks. Do not put the firstborn of your cows to work, and do not shear the firstborn of your sheep. Each year, you and your family are to eat them in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose. If an animal has a defect, is lame or blind, or has any serious flaw, you must not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. You are to eat it in your own towns. Both the ceremonially unclean and the clean may eat it, as if it were gazelle or deer. But you must not eat the blood. Pour it out on the ground like water. Luke 8:40-9:6. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, "God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him." Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things. Who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. Proverbs 12, 5 through 7. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. Okay, so in the book of Deuteronomy, we once again address idolatry. And we've talked about idolatry before. And idolatry, that's a word that's like, it's like an old-fashioned word or something. Nobody thinks of worshiping idols. I shouldn't say nobody, because idol worship certainly does exist in the world today. But generally speaking, People don't have idols in their yards that they actually sacrifice animals to and believe in. And so the concept can seem foreign to our life experience. Let's go back into the book of Deuteronomy, though, where it's not a foreign concept. Because what's happening here among the children of Israel is the rise of what we now know of as monotheism, that there is one God, the Most High. In the cultures surrounding the children of Israel, in the known world, polytheism was the norm, the belief that there are many gods doing many things, good gods, mischievous gods, gods that need to be appeased, gods of fertility, gods of agriculture, gods of war. But there were also the local tribal gods, the gods of the nations surrounding the children of Israel. And it was believed that these gods needed to be appeased. And so that could happen through sacrifice or any number of things, as we have learned in the book of Deuteronomy. In some cases, children were sacrificed to these false idols. So for a brand new emerging culture in the world, worshiping one God, the Most High God, the only God, the one God, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is very different kind of thinking. And God, the Most High God, has revealed to this people that he has chosen and set apart as holy. He has revealed to them that through them he is going to reveal himself to all the nations. So if the children of Israel go into a new land and are seduced away into idolatry and idol worship and begin sacrificing to false gods, then that's not going to happen. And so when we come into the 13th chapter of Deuteronomy today and we read, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, I mean, we could just stop right there. Because even in our modern world, if that happens, we are probably paying attention. We are looking at the gift or the sign as the sign that the Most High God is present in the thing. However, we have ancient wisdom being passed to us from Deuteronomy that says, if that prophet, even the one who foretold the future and it came true, or a wonder happened and you saw the sign, if that prophet says, let us follow other gods and let us worship them, well, then the people are to not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. So let's just take a step back and kind of dissect this a little bit in a way that we could kind of lay on the table and understand it in our context. We certainly would pay attention to a sign and a wonder. But if at that point we realize that we are being led away from God and not deeper into our relationship with God, and it shouldn't be a super ambiguous thing for us. We know God, right? We walk with God, right? God indwells us, right? Like we're in a relationship, right? And when we know somebody and somebody tells us something that's incorrect about that person, we can say, I know that person. I know that's not true. I know that's not true. And so we have it within us to discern. But the magic can certainly be a distraction. And so if it's smoke and lights and rock and roll and signs and wonders that is ultimately pulling us away from God, it is pulling us into idolatry. It is pulling us into giving our heart to something else, hoping that that something else will rescue us, or make us prosperous, or deliver what it is we're looking for. The ancients would have been looking for fertility, or rain for the crops, or a bountiful harvest, or the things that would make them survive and thrive and be strong. We look for the similar things. We just look for them in promotions and raises and anything that would make us more comfortable. If those things, whether through signs or wonders or not, are leading us away from God, they are leading us into idolatry. And in this culture, this emerging culture, the children of Israel, idolatry is a capital offense. We could roll our eyes and go like, that is barbaric. But when we understand that the Most High God set aside a people to reveal himself to the nations through and to establish a culture that rose above all of the other ones and pulled all of humanity forward, then we begin to understand that if the people are going to be seduced away into idolatry by whatever means, the whole thing will begin to crumble, which we will get to see very clearly, which allows us to think, how do I want to end up here? Crumbled or thriving? Which brings us back to the lesson of the wilderness. We are utterly dependent upon the Most High God, and we live because he breathed life into us. He may not act like he's our servant every time we ask him to do something, probably because he's not our servant. We're his servant. But there is nothing, no thing, no company, no business, no person, no set of assets that can ultimately save us. In the end, no matter how we play it, we are utterly dependent upon God. And that becomes a mindset and a heart posture. And when we are living in that space, from that place, we feel safe and free. Because what can anybody do to us? I mean, even if they take our lives from us, that's not the end of anything. But nothing else, no other idol, no other thing that we give our heart to can deliver on that. It will all fail eventually. And so once again, we are challenged by the concept of idolatry in our lives. And if we invite the Holy Spirit, we can see the ways that we turn to other things, hoping for security. And turning to things and trying to build up things for security, et cetera, et cetera. Like, that's not necessarily a bad thing, other than when it's between us and God, when we are dependent upon this other thing over God, then that's a recipe for disaster. And so let's give that some thought today, because that is what is coming up in the scriptures today. This is a very, very, very important thing for Moses to say to the people, because he's not going to be there to say it anymore. And so he's saying it now so that it didn't go unsaid. Let's not let it blow by us. Let's give it gravity. And so, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the counsel that we are receiving from the scriptures today, that when we give our hearts in expectation for some sort of return, and that dependence is greater than our utter dependence upon you, and we have an idol, and we may not sacrifice animals to it, and it may not even be a tangible thing, but it is something between us. And we don't want that. And so, Holy Spirit, come. lead us into all truth, even the truth about ways that we offer our hearts and ourselves to things that are false. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is a home base. That is the website, and it's where you can find out what's happening around here. If you're using the Daily Audio Bible app, you can do the same thing from within the app by pushing the drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner. So check out the different sections, like the community section, where there are different links to get connected on social media, but also where the prayer wall lives. Always available any time of day or night. We can always reach out for prayer. We can always go there and pray for one another, reach back through prayer toward one another. So check that out, whether on the web or in the app. It is always available to us. And thank God for that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. If coming around the global campfire together every day is life-giving to you, then thank you. Thank you deeply and humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, as always, we are a community who prays for one another. If you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB family. My name is Khalifa from London. I'm a single mother of a 10-year-old boy. He currently acts, and he has just landed an amazing role with Disney, and he's able to tour. Now, the reason why I want prayer is because I've heard some crazy stuff that happens on tour. He's only 10 years old, and I really want prayers for my magnificent son, Josiah, because it's just been me, him, and Jesus. And I am just trying to let go and let God, because this is an amazing opportunity. So family, please, like the Bible says, where two or three are gathered and they agree, I want us to pray that he's going to be fine. I want the Lord to just, he's kind of continuously to be on my son. And just thank you, Brian, for bringing me closer to Christ, because at the beginning of the year, I said I want to be able to read the Bible, and your platform is absolutely amazing. God bless you, DAB family. And please pray for my magnificent son, Josiah. And for all the single moms out there, I see you. God sees you. And I always reference the scripture of Haggai when she was in the wilderness. Look up, because there's a fountain of water in Christ. Thank you, family. Love you, Khalifa. Bye.
Hey, DAB fam. This is Preston in the Bay Area. Today is March 26th. I want to lift up Michael, his brother Elijah, your cousin, and your niece. You're all living together. And it sounds like there's some stresses that you're all feeling in different ways. I just want to lift you guys up. Dear Father, we lift up Michael, his brother Elijah, their cousin, and their niece, as they live together. Father, we lift up Elijah. We just ask that your Holy Spirit would reveal you to him, and just bring him peace, so that he would stop acting out in class and in other settings. Father, we lift up their cousin to you, the one who's working hard to provide a roof over their head. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would just please bless him, give him relief, Father. We ask for spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, and financial relief for this family that's living together, Father. We just ask that your Holy Spirit would just provide a break where they need it, and your Holy Spirit would just continue to bless them, even when times are difficult, Father. We love you, Jesus, and we worship you. In your precious name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Free and Forgiven in Florida, and I just want to thank Rebecca. Rebecca, dear sister, thank you for calling on March 19th with your prayer for the single people. That broke me. I sat here and sobbed. I am also single, and it just felt amazing to hear your prayer and to know that, of course, I know I'm not the only one, but it validated so much of what I deal with, and just knowing that you had the love and the sympathy to call, and it was in response to another prayer request for a single person, and I remember that call, and that also broke me because I can so relate. So it is something that I struggle with also, and just trying to understand and not listen to the voice that says, what's wrong with me? Why am I still single? But I'm learning that it's become somewhat, well, it has become an idol for me, and I'm working on laying that down and just spending my time and my thoughts and my energy in the Lord and honestly in this community. Thank you for praying. I love you.
Good afternoon, DAB community. This is this wandering child calling from Canada. Today's date is Saturday, March the 26th. And I'm calling just to say thank you. Thank you to Brian and to China and Jill and Ezekiel. Thank you so much for answering the call that God has placed on your life. This is an awesome ministry, and it's blessing so many around this world. And you can hear it through the prayers that people call in for one another. And you can see the hand of God in all of this. And I truly believe that if we were all together and we were seeing one another, that the only thing that we would do is look at each other through the eyes of love, through the eyes of Jesus. No condemnation. And I believe that with all of my heart, because I believe that the Lord has brought me to this family so that I could be healed. All of those deep wounds that have been there since childhood, I see them unfolding through prayers or testimonies that people are saying in this community. So I thank each and every one of you for calling in and for being such a blessing. And may God continue to bless you and use you.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank God for this ministry. I have never heard teaching so bright, raw, wide open, pure, and true, and full of life, and just filled with your spirit, Father. I ask that you bless Brian and Jill and China and their family, Ezekiel, and all the ones behind the scenes. I've been a Christian for quite a long time. Been in lots of teachings, Bible studies, faithful, many, many, many years in a church. I've never heard this type of teaching and ministry. So I pray that you sow into this ministry. Pray about what you can give into it. Pray about what you can do for it. Pray about how you can bless others, help others by calling in. And I just pray that this ministry would be on the top of your list every day. The Word of God would just bless you, encourage you, and as you abide in Him, that He would just open the doors of your life. It's changed my life completely and continuously. It's nonstop. Jesus has something for you every day, every moment. And I thank God for this, Brian and Jill. I ask that Jesus bless you in everything you do and put your hand to. Bless your voices and your eyes and ears. In Jesus' name I pray.